Welcome to Real Talk Sundays, the podcast for the people by the people.
Because some people can't handle real talk no matter what day it is.
No matter what band they're interviewing. And today we are interviewing Gilda House, which I'm excited to dive into in a minute, but we are actually working with Tree Fort 2024 here in Boise, Idaho. This is our first Tree Fort as press, which actually in general, I'm very excited
I've never
for
been.
It. Yeah, local, like I'm a local, but it's very exciting. There's a lot of great up and coming talent, and as a lot of people on our podcast know, we focus and feature one up and coming artist every episode that's just kind of up and coming or underground or a deep cut on anything. And so this hit us right at home. We've been jamming out to your music for the last couple of days, really like it, but I just want to dive in and talk a little bit more about you guys. But this is a group really known for and I will say on your website, whoever wrote that describing your new song that's going to drop April 5th, like chef's kiss. I was like, who wrote this? I stole it. But yeah, just a group known for their emotive, punchy, and enthralling sound and making music since 2019, Gilda House. We'll do a little. We really want to introduce, of course, you know, we have Meg, Tony, and Nick, and by all means, I was going to say, kind of start from here, work our way over, but your drums and, and more of the lighting and everything. When did you join Gilda?
I am the latest addition. So okay. Meg started and Tony joined. Around the formation of AB, and I came in during putting together B of D's, which is the last half of the AB.
The saga that those two records are.
I joined because I thought it was awesome.
Yeah.
And they needed a drummer, so I'm like, I can dig this.
Yeah.
And I've been stumbling my way through the lights, and so we got a little light show we usually take along with us.
Okay. Oh,
nice.
Oh, love that. I'm excited to see it.
Yeah.
But Meg, tell me a little about you, because you're more like the founder, you know, the one coming into it back in the day. So tell me a little bit about you.
Sure. So Gilda House as a project started in 2019. I did You're Invited by myself in my house with my computer. And then each record, I met somebody new who I was so grateful to have in the project, and none of it was planned. You know, I didn't know how anything would play out, but Gilda House is my last name.
Yes.
And the band is like a phonetic spelling of it. And my family, I grew up with a really incredible family. My parents are wonderful. Nobody's perfect, right? But if Gilda House can be that kind of safe space, and like if that's what we can give and create for people, I'm really proud of that. So I guess that's a little bit about why Gilda House and how Gilda House. Yeah.
Oh, I love it. What is that? Is it German? Is it Swedish? What is it?
It's German, and it's debated. Is it Golden House? Or is it House of the Guild?
Ah.
No one knows. I think it's Golden House today.
Write your own. Why not?
Feels right, you know?
I love it. Okay. Yeah. And so you were the middle edition. You're kind of the one that came in mid-tier. Tell me a little bit about you.
I joined during the side A of the AB albums and helped get the live show kind of real, because it was like she said, it started out as she wrote these songs and they were off the ground, but then she wanted some help. How could we incorporate this like at a live grandiose scale? So you know, turning the tracks around from the computer and being able to play them live, you know, that was where I kind of came in. I like doing that kind of stuff and just kind of filled in with, you know, instruments, whether it was between her and myself or anybody else. So, yeah.
You guys just kind of naturally fell in.
Yeah.
That's rare. I feel like that's not as common as a lot of people think it is, you know, especially when you get good camaraderie. But I think my first question is for you, Meg, and specifically when it talks about, I think, writing music. So your new single, Anamkara, am I pronouncing that right? Anamkara?
Yes.
Drops April 5th. And all of you have been contributing to the writing since you guys kind of all came together. And so I wanted to talk a little bit about the creative process within a group when you're writing new music. And I think specifically for you, almost like letting go of that. I think as a creative and as a control person myself, I was like, oh my God, I'm inviting them into my house. Like, okay, tell me a little bit about that.
You know, over the course of Gilda House developing from just me being like the musical creator to adding more people. I'd say like the music itself has gotten a lot better, and actually my perfectionist type A tendencies, which is me, have been eased and lessened, and I trust the process more now, and it's so much fun. Like a good way to describe it is the ideas kind of get ping-ponged around. Like it'll start one place, and that could be any place. It could be with lyrics, it could be with a melody, it could be with a groove, it could be with like a guitar riff. And then wherever, if it's something that we're excited about, we like working on it, we want to keep working on it, we'll ping-pong it around to the perspective place next. So Anamkara as a song actually started with a fourth member of our group, Sean Lynch. He manages us, works in the studio with us, and mixes, and is, you know, equal part of everything we do. And he wrote like a synth lick groove that was actually based off of the tempo of Michael Jackson's Beat It, because everyone dances when that song comes on, so right. We want to write a dance song. And then after it started there, it just went a whole bunch of different places before it ended where it ended.
Yeah, it had quite the lead up too. If you go to, I believe it's guildhouse.com, I believe is your guys' website. Yeah, it's a little intro on that. And just, yeah, again, what was written is I'm excited for it. So I was like, all right, I'll pinpoint on that. But okay, interesting.
The lyrics for When It Is Raining explores like the themes of light and dark. How do you guys balance that when you're writing music?
Ooh.
Very good.
That's a very good question. I'll go first real quick here, and then I'd love to hear what you guys have to say. When It Is Raining is kind of partnered with a song on AB Side A called Next Time.
Okay.
And the two records, AB Side A and B80s, are kind of equal and opposite to each other. So that song is about like realizing you're kind of coming up against darkness in your life again, but you've been there before, so you can figure it out. You did like find the way out when you were totally lost the first time, and you can remember how to get out because it's like the second time being there.
Right.
And I don't know, we write about, I would say anything that you want to spend time with is how I look at it. Like this song is going to be something we're intimately writing in the studio, right? But then we're going to be intimately playing it and like saying it all the time. So what concept, what thing are you trying to meditate on for that like length of time and a repeated exposure to it? Right. And so AB Side A and BDs are kind of like a guide to healing and getting back to a healthy place of being, so that you can be a good like player in the world and give back. So I don't
that's
know if
really
that
cool.
kind of
no,
meanders around
no.
everywhere, but
that's why it's a good question, because it has such good answers, dark. I feel like, of what you guys really are doing with your lyrics, you know, and performing.
What we're trying to do.
Yeah.
So it's cool that you see us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, how about you? Any insight on that, or?
You know, a lot of the lyrics I've left up to Meg at this point, being the new guy. Coming in with the drums has been a whole different way to look at it, as far as like dark and lightness, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Drums are drums, but cohesively, it all just comes together. Yeah. It's a fun band.
I love it.
I like it.
Honestly.
It's fun to write and it's fun to play, so.
Yeah, this one kind of plays into it. What role do you believe music plays in society, and how do you hope your music contributes to that?
Which you hit a little bit on when you were talking about.
Yeah, you know. I think lyrically, I definitely, and even more so now, I write from a very personal, like, you know, perspective. And that can be, music is the easiest way to be honest about things that are hard to just say, but you can sing about them in front of a bunch of people. I don't know why that's the case. But it is. So I don't know. I just hope that it's like, I think everyone is fighting a good fight and everyone has got some stuff that they're working out, and if this can resonate in any way with like being alive right now and in the climate that we're all in, just with, you know, politics and fear and the PTSD of coming out of a pandemic across, kind of, no matter who you are, that if this can be a resonating moment of like, oh, come to the show and whatever you're feeling, be safe for this hour and let it be a release and relax. Just like, I don't know, you don't have to put on a face.
Right. Yeah, dude, yeah. Let us yeah. be present. Just be yourself.
Yeah.
The mask.
Yeah.
Feel it. Feel the music.
I'd
feel
love to
the
hear
emotions.
What Tony thinks on that front, though, too.
So, music, what I love about music is it's a universal language for all of us, you know, what, no matter the genre. If you resonate with it or if it resonates with you, you can kind of put down your safeguard of like, I feel very comfortable here. This is a good space. And, you know, as an artist, I feel like we try to, you know, put that out there. Or it's like, just if you're feeling the groove, feel it, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just, it's a, like she said, you know, whether it's a half hour to an hour set, it's, that's the time that you can feel the safest and most comfortable and be yourself. Like,
yeah.
You know.
No, music's like, music changes lives. Music saves lives.
It does.
Music
it does.
Is, I mean,
yeah.
It's a huge, and I was thinking about it too. I was like, on a timeless front too, because there's a lot of music that I listen to where artists are not around anymore. It's been generations to where I'm like, they're long and gone. And we're still either remastering or there's a deep cut that's coming up or a new release from
yeah.
a hidden album.
Yeah.
And even new artists are taking inspiration from those old artists, old bands. And I don't feel the same about cinematography and movie. Like, I'm not watching old black and white. Like, I'm sure people are to reinvent it, but when it comes to music, it's
yeah.
such on a real level to where all
exactly.
of us can enjoy it from any timeline,
exactly.
from any generation,
yeah.
and make it our own even, or even sick with an original sound. Like, even coming back to Michael Jackson,
mm-hmm.
still, we walk down to a club today, we will hear that. We will
yeah.
hear it tonight.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that just goes to show, yeah, the thumbprint it has on our society, on our world.
Exactly.
And, like, it's energy, man. It's tones. It's energy. It's frequency.
Yep.
It's unreal. So, my question is, I'm going to give some context to this question, and then I'd like to hear from all three of you on this one, because it's a bit deeper, but you were mentioning our society today, and it's, yeah, it's a lot, but specifically the music industry, right, which runs interchanged with even Hollywood, and even right now, the shit's that's popping off right now with R&B and hip hop, you know, I digress, but it's not a safe space. It's not, you know, psychologically or even physically, but a lot of people, and I've seen a lot of up-and-coming artists, small-time artists that, we've had long conversations about artists that sell to a label and they sell out. Their sound's different, their tone's different, and it's hard, because I've also seen the inverse of that, where artists have sold to a label and then they're now stuck in debt because they backed out of that label and they're like, they're not letting me be what
you
I want to be.
Sing.
Yeah, you can't do it, right?
That you wanna do.
So it's a matter of, are you willing to sell your soul to the devil to reach, you know, I want to take care of my mom too.
Yeah.
Like, what would I do, right?
Exactly.
Just a couple
yeah.
million makes you stand tall.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
when it comes to that, and then coming to our generation, which I really love our generation, those after, who are coming with platforms like TikTok, like Instagram, and even the drama that's happening with TikTok right now in our government. And I've seen quite a few small-time solo artists come up on TikTok with a banger, just something that's like, oh my God, this is just, woo, you're crying 1 second, you're celebrating. And then they're on my radio in Boise, Idaho, 2 months later, unheard of, with no, you know, just that come up and really putting the power back into the people's hands for listening. So my question is, especially if TikTok does get taken down and we're now, you know, forced to kind of go back to, I wouldn't say grassroots, but Instagram, your Facebook, it's a little more controlled. How do you, like, what do you say needs to happen to give power back to the people and the artists and take it out of the hands of these labels? What would you like to see happen in this industry?
Oh, man.
That's a very good question.
That is a good
Thank
question.
You.
I mean, we'd like to see that.
Hell
but
yeah.
The how is just.
Right?
That's tough.
Yeah.
And it's like, for me, someone, or I guess people I'm always drawn to as artists or musicians are the ones that stay true to who they are, you know, at their core. And with these platforms, like you were saying, like Instagram, TikTok, any of the platforms, it's up to, you know, that artist to be able to, like, I don't know, be mindful of how you use said platform to get yourself out there, you know. But as this is a personal opinion, but if you're staying true to what you believe in and what you feel is right and not selling out, you'll win at the end of the day, because that's what you're trying to truly do, you know.
Yeah.
With the whole, it's just a very murky subject because of that, I guess, with kind of the selling out, or, you know, not becoming true to yourself. But just personally, I think if you can stay on that route, you will win at the end of the day. You can go to sleep and going, oh, okay, I did, like, I'm happy with what the choices I made. We'll continue to move on, you know?
Yeah. I'm curious to see, like, how can, because I'm not too partial to, like, how the music industry truly works and up top, you know, once you guys get going where you're going.
Yeah.
But my thing is, like, why is it such a monopoly? Why are only a handful of, which is, I guess, the whole theme of, I guess, our lives and
right.
America in general. But it almost seems like a bit of a monopoly. You got half a dozen people who are picking up the talent and have the financial backing to expose them globally. And, you know, it's almost like, how do we tilt that? How do we off tilt, you know?
Yeah.
We need money.
I mean,
we
power.
Need money and power. We need a musical TikTok, yeah. Honestly.
I think there's always been kind of an ebb and flow, whether it's between like the big labels or the big corporations can kind of control the music and the creators. Like there's always been this push and pull with that. But with all of the new tools and with TikTok and everything else social, and the fact that you can, now there is a path to go around. Yeah. You don't have to go through the gatekeepers. Like, no, you could just do something crazy on TikTok and all of a sudden you're discovered. Yeah. But then what happens after that?
Mm-hmm. The momentum,
I think that's kind of what separates, like, oh, like if you actually want to pursue music as like a career choice, or you want to like actually do something for real, like there's so much follow through. That has to, like, you can't just have one viral video and like, oh,
ain't
now
that
you're,
the truth.
Now you're
ain't
done.
That
like,
the truth. It's real hard when that happens and then follow up on that.
Yeah. And at that point it's like you're not gonna want to go at it alone. Like you're gonna want to have people who know how to book bands and know how to get press and maybe even the label, but you need to kind of form a team still. But it's not necessarily, I like that you don't have to go to be on a major label anymore. Like you can really form a real grassroots team and work and hopefully get it. I think luck is always played a part.
Yeah, dude. What is it? What beats the house every day? Luck. Yeah, every day.
Random question, how many people are on your team do you guys have?
You know, in our touring team, it is Tony, myself, Nick, Sean, and I would say that's the core creative team of Gilda House, but my dad tours with us,
cool.
And he sells our merch.
Oh, that's awesome.
And he'll see him tomorrow.
Okay,
so
cool.
You'll get to meet him.
We'll have to get some merch.
He's wonderful.
Damn,
yeah.
Yeah.
And then we also have other additional members of our team. Like we've got our new publicist, Michelle, is here with us, and it's cool. I think we are, none of us are in a rush. Like, I don't think there's any shortcuts you can take. Like, no one's getting where you're trying to go fast. So if you know that and you can have patience to make sure that your team members are right, but also, like, I don't know. I think too about that your strategy is right, but also that your strategy isn't just a strategy. Meaning you can like bust out on TikTok, but like, are you participating in TikTok like an influencer or like a musician? Because they're different.
Yeah.
And where are you putting your creative energy? I think that can be kind of a trap potential. Like sometimes is like,
well said.
We're trying to, you know, write great songs and resonate with people, not trying to like sell products.
Yeah. Right.
You know, so I think it's always been what trap and in what place. But because it's so, there is another door to go through. I think even the labels are like confused about what to do with TikTok. And so there's a lot of opportunity out there. There's a lot, like no one's hacked it. No one knows. I don't think they know any better than we do.
Yeah.
Right.
Because some like TikTok acts will come through a venue and they won't sell any tickets, but they'll be blown up on TikTok. So it's like, exactly. What's everybody wins and loses. And it is what it is for your individual experience as a band and as an artist. But
yeah.
No,
I like
those
that.
Are good things. We'll take it less deep now. We'll go less deep.
Shallow.
The last question is deep, but this one will go, who are your musical influences growing up or right now, whatever you want to ask?
You guys got a sound, dude. You got a vibe.
I was like,
this
vibe.
That's so cool.
It's always a loaded question. Personally, I could honestly go on all day, every day. But like most recently, I mean, I've been a true fan of her. Lady Gaga, big, massive fan of her. Just like, I mean, so many different people. Like, I could go on with like bands like Knocked Loose. I like all sorts of different genres. I'm just like an open book when it comes to that. I try not to just listen to one thing. I'm just like, I like what they do. I like what they do. Right. They're awesome. Yeah. So those are just, I'll start with just those two, you know, like Lady Gaga kills it all the time. And then let's say Knocked Loose, they're more of like a metal band,
okay.
But absolutely love what they do. Their live show is amazing.
All right. How are you guys?
I've been listening lately to a decent amount of Fanagram. That's a band's rabbit hole I'd never really gone down before till this year. And I really love their sound. And I think are inspired by their synths and their basses and their textures and stuff. And I've been listening to a lot of like classic dance oriented stuff like ABBA.
Oh, okay.
And just getting people to move on the floor. So those are probably the two that I'll toss out there right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Curious from drummers. Yeah.
Okay. Oh.
Here's a Slipknot. I think it's great. No.
This is tough.
Slipknot.
Yeah.
So
well, no. I remember the first time I listened to Joey Jordison, or the first time I actually saw his drum set. Like completely inverse over the audience. I saw it on, my old stepdad was a bass player. He was a huge fan, and he actually ended up getting his hands on a recording, and it was the trippiest shit I've ever seen in my life. One, I think the autonomy and even just being masked and giving the power, you know, to the music instead of the actual individual artist. But two, seeing a fucking drum set flipped upside down over a stage was insane. I'd never seen that before.
Well, I'd say Slipknot is a little bit more Tony's department.
I feel that. I feel that for you.
My first love in music was like punk rock and stuff. And so to this day, I'll still listen to a lot of Fat Records bands. And okay. Of course, it's NOFX is... final tour I think is happening this year, but I don't love the genre enough to like even care about that. I'm like, whatever. Man, I'm all over the place.
Yeah.
I sometimes like getting into weird like DJ mixes, like Burning Man's stuff.
Okay,
you know what I mean?
Like, oh, for sure.
Just go down a really crazy rabbit hole.
Oh, absolutely.
And just hear all kinds of electronic mishmashes and.
That's what I think too is like are with the technology now being able to create a completely new genre of music and just seeing what people, how fucking creative people are. It blows my mind. Just musicians, artists, all in one. But I also like too, the platforms in which you're listening to are also getting in tune. So I don't know if Spotify does this. I'm a YouTube music kind of gal, and this algorithm, dude, I'm telling you, some of these settings. So I went in and they were like, oh, you know, make your own kind of mix. So I basically highlighted all the artists that I really like. I put deep cut. I put, you know, basically I want exclusive. I basically want shit nobody's ever heard of. Go.
Yeah.
And the shit, it's spitting out. I'm like, who are these guys? Three likes. Who are these guys? And that's where we actually find, and whoever, you know, the person who curates all of our music, him too, he was like, oh, dude, you have no idea what this Google Music's capable of. It's insanity what you're able to find with it. And these artists who are just, God, they need to be big. Everyone needs to hear this. And you're just like, oh my God, how do we get it out there?
I like being on the fringe. I like that you're a YouTube person too.
Yeah.
Like, most people like get the Spotify algorithm and they know what's hip and you know, they'll say all the cool things. But they're like, well, I heard some really cool stuff the other day. I don't remember what they're called, but you know.
Yeah. Oh, just trippy shit.
I love going down the rabbit hole.
Yeah. Absolutely. A good day going, you're just like, what is this? This is magical. Makes you feel.
I've also played music long enough to know that like I also like current working bands too.
Yeah.
So we just played a show with, and we've been digging Keo and them, and Rudy Love and the Encore.
Okay.
Those are our buddies from Wichita. Those are good listens.
What are some songs, I guess, what is the last song you've added to your playlist? Literally, what's the last one on your phone right now that you added?
don't even know.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, phone. Let's see. I'm curious.
Phone's over there.
Oh, damn. Oh, I'm proud of you guys. No, that's a good one. I'd be curious.
I just heard Moonwalker for the first time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Moonwalker.
They're wonderful.
Ooh.
They're here.
Okay. There's a few here where I was like, yeah, I'm excited to just give a listen, see what finds me. Because it's a lot. It's a lot in a short amount of time to go through. And you're like, okay, I want to listen to these guys. I want to listen to these guys. And then, but you're not really into bluegrass, but I'm still going to go listen to these guys, you know. But interesting. I'd be curious to know what your guys' last song is. And are there, I guess, for your future, are there any collaborations that you guys are just really hoping to land or just stoked to get to?
Lady Gaga, duh.
That's yeah, right. Number one. Let us manifest it.
Yeah.
Let us manifest it.
We're still working on that Taylor Swift.
Yeah, right.
Split.
Let's do that. That's our next interview, actually. I'll plug you.
But actually, we are, I think, working on a split with Keo and them, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It would be a split 7-inch single. And, you know, barring everything goes great with it all, it's like the idea of that program that it's part of is buy before you stream. So it encourages people to buy the single on the 7-inch before it's ever available anywhere else. So it's trying to get people involved with the, you know, buying music and
that one's a hard one, I will say too. I'm
like, it is
I'm fine for a subscription, but an individual album, I'm like, oh, unless I'm getting good artwork, I don't know.
Unless I'm getting good artwork.
I struggle with it.
Noted though, you know.
Honestly, if I can see it on a shirt, sure.
That's
really what it is. How about you, besides Lady Gaga, anybody else? You were like, why not?
to collab with?
Yeah, no, just put it out there.
Oh gosh.
Put it out there.
See what the universe spits out for you.
So I've always been a big fan of this guy because he actually has a very similar mindset. This guy, his name is Greg Puciato. One of the best live bands you could ever see. I don't know if you guys ever heard of this crazy mathcore band called Dillinger Escape Plan.
No.
They were a band for like 20 years, and he was the front man. This guy would get a torch, put gas in his mouth, and just blow it out at the above the crowd. He'd jump out in the crowd, throw guitars out in the crowd. Guy's crazy. He's absolutely amazing. But what I love about him the most is his voice. He is a vocalist through and through, but he is open to anything and trying anything. He's done dark synthwave bands. That the Black Queen actually is one of his. They're a trio that does, you know, it's like groovy electronic synthwave beats, you know, and then he just has this sultry voice right across the top of it. And usually he's a screamo guy, but then here he is doing like R&B vocals.
Yeah, versatile. You know?
So, and he does like metal bands and all that, but he would be an awesome one to collab with because it seems like no matter what he touches, it's just a good song, mm-hmm. you know? So he would be a person of interest to also work with.
I'm curious for, not that I want to turn it, this kind of question that's popped in my head, not that I want to turn it to like a battle of the sexes by any means, but I'm curious to know like your experience as a woman in this industry. Like, is there any advice you would give to young women up and coming, especially making their own art, making their own, you know, sound, and a lot of the adversity kind of that I'm sure you faced as all women do coming up, but in this industry in particular, especially when everything's very much sexy, everything's got to have a, you know, a look to it, a feel to it, but any advice for up and coming young ladies?
That's a super cool question, first and foremost. I think the biggest thing is that this industry moves incredibly fast. And when you're just getting into it, like, be okay with being uncomfortable. And like push through that discomfort if you really love it, if you really want to be there, and don't like, you know, dip out because you are the only woman there, or because you're scared to say something or anything like that, especially in an environment kind of, you know, dominated by men and dictated by men. Please like stick it out in those first couple months or years or however long it is. Cause like, I won't go too long on this story, but when I first started college, I was in a music program at NYU and I was so intimidated and scared and like, hated how it felt that I quit. And I was like, wow, I'm never ever gonna do music again. Here I am. Like I definitely, you know, got back to it and it was a weird trail back. But yeah, I think that people will talk over you. People will do all those things. You probably, I've always kind of been a a dude's girl. Like, I can hang out with lots of men. I always have. Oh, God.
Yeah, no, not really.
But, like, I grew up.
Men and women can be friends.
I do.
That's one of our questions we're not going to ask that today. Just kidding.
You know, but, yeah, be okay with being uncomfortable in the good ways, and then also be okay with, like, putting the line down where you need to. And the discomfort of putting a line down where you're someone's crossing boundary, yeah. You need them to cross no matter how, what kind of boundary it is, you know? Be okay with it. People are not going to like you sometimes, and maybe that's good.
Let them.
It's fine.
Yeah, let them. Yeah. We got the week, honestly.
Be yourself.
Be yourself is really what it comes down to.
I think that's another one, too, that I've been, just because Jayla's on fire right now, and I think it's hilarious, but I think a lot of times, too, when female artists come in and they draw that line, and a lot of women have the feels on, like, how am I making them feel?
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I just don't want them to think I'm a bitch. I don't want them to think I'm this. And it's like, no, let them.
Let them
be your bitch, then. If that's a line for you, let them draw it. And be okay with them thinking that and feeling that. You're not
okay
responsible for your feels. I'm sorry.
I think when you're in your young 20s too, like late teens, early 20s, that is so much harder. And then you get to your later 20s, like I'm 29, and the older I get, the more I'm like, I don't give a shit. Yeah, you know, it's so nice. I love it.
Just wait.
Yeah. Straight walk into your 40s, too.
If I could not care,
I
when I was younger.
My best friend and have a homestead. Yeah. So. That's where I'm at now. Like, honestly.
I support it.
Oh, love it. Well, yeah, we'll kind of wrap up with one of my out-of-pocket questions.
Yeah, I'm waiting for this one.
Okay. This is my favorite question, mostly because we talk about this a lot, and every time we talk to people about music. Do you ever fuck to your own music? Just curious.
I just watched their faces.
I don't know.
In all my life, in all my bands, no.
All right.
Never.
You wouldn't judge you if you did. Some of us would. Okay.
I would. I don't have music. I can't sing. But if I could, I would. I don't care.
It would be playing right now as we record this podcast. This is where we're at right now.
I can't say that I wouldn't.
Yeah.
But I haven't.
I love your openness to that. I love that.
Open to it. That'd be funny.
I feel like now the goal is to write a song that I would fuck to.
We just inspired you to do that. Can you write? Can you just tag us when that comes out?
Halftime, absolutely.
I think you could. Your music has such a good vibe. I think you could do that easy.
I'd be hooking up with somebody, and you're like, "Oh my God, this is my song."
Have you? Yeah. Do you know this artist?
I thought this was you.
I would love that. Well, no, I think.
Wait, he didn't answer.
Oh, yeah,
Tony.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, I'm in a similar boat. I have yet to. But, you know, maybe I'm about to write that song.
All right.
Not going to rule it out.
Yeah, I ain't going to rule it out, ever.
It. I'll put it on my playlist.
There
I'll
you go.
Tony will be like, this is the one.
Hope you enjoy.
That's awesome.
Will do, in more ways than one.
There you go, yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But no, and our final one, we ask all the guests that come on our show this question. Let's take it away, Val. Lead it away.
Yeah, what is the most real talk someone has ever given you?
Ooh. Okay, I got real talk.
Ooh, here we go.
It's from my dad, and it's something he told me like over 20 years ago. And it's even more true now than it was then. And it's, hold on, it's gonna come to me. Okay. No, it's okay.
I channel the inner dad.
Yeah.
Believe none of what you hear and only half of what you see.
I like that.
That is real.
Yeah.
And nowadays, I'd say that's even. Believe even less than half of what you see.
Oh, for real. It's almost inverse. Yeah.
It's almost it's almost to the point where it's like, just don't believe
don't
anything.
Shit to for sure.
That's true.
Oh, that's true. Especially when it comes to meeting new people or new, you always get, right. I always get in my head, especially when we just even had an interview where I was like, I don't know about this person. I don't know. You just got to meet them too for yourself.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. I mean, realist talk probably, was from my mom. It's parental figure as well, was, you know, I kind of already touched on it where it was just like, be true to yourself, you know, that's how you'll pretty much stay happy is just knowing, being true to yourself and you will just be happy in life pretty much, you know, whether it's creating something, doing something with somebody, whatever it is, if it feels right and it feels true, go with it, you know, and it's carried through Most of the years of my life, actually. It's actually probably in the last 10 years been the truest. That's kind of how, well, when I met Meg even, like, I was just like, we were just friends, you know? We were just going, I was like nerding out with her about synths and whatnot. That's how it actually started. I just messaged her. I was like, what are you using in your songs? This is awesome. But then we just became really close friends and it just absolutely felt right. So, you know?
I like that.
Yeah.
That's
pretty deep too,
but
still. And that's
the thing, yeah, honestly too, because when push comes to shove and when pressure hits, it's gonna magnify what you already are. You're gonna revert back to old habits, you're gonna revert back to who you are.
Yeah.
And if you're already locked in, you're already in alignment, then let it magnify. You know?
I like that, that's awesome. Say?
Money and recreational drugs, they magnify what you already are. So you just gotta be in alignment, right? So if you're already true, it's gonna magnify truth, for sure. How about you? Yeah, I'm curious on this one.
I like racked my brain for a couple of different ones, and one real talk moment of my life that I think took a lot of pressure off, and I just didn't realize at the time how nice and lucky I was to have this kinds of conversation with my mom, even though it was incredibly uncomfortable. I was like, what the hell are we talking about this, mom? She was telling me that everybody masturbates. Women, everybody, anybody, it's a safe thing everybody can do.
You know? Meg, coming in with the real talk.
I'm just saying that, like,
everybody masturbates.
I did not know when I was young that, like, not everybody had that talk and felt that freedom. So, you know.
Truth. That is real talk.
There's that one.
Mom.
Thanks, Mom. Love you.
Yeah,
Mom
was the same.
She the best.
Thanks, Mom.
Thanks, Mom.
We actually have a segment called Thanks, Mom.
Thanks, Mom.
Thanks, Mom.
Well, there you go.
Awesome. You guys are out of Billings, right?
Yep.
You're hop, skipping, and jump away.
Hop,
which is
skipping,
beautiful.
And jump away.
Actually, Frank had a couple of these questions lined up, but he was curious. What part of being in Billings or part of where you guys grew up influences your music? Does any of that come from where you're at?
I think Montana is a place where a lot of people enjoy solitude and enjoy the quiet. And so I know for me, I just love having the quiet as a resource and as a place to be and to, like, figure out how, you know, if things are noisy all the time, you can't really sort out what you're writing. So
overstimmed.
That, I think that's Oh, I hate that. Yeah. Love Montana. Never
it's
leaving.
It's a great canvas to start on, you know?
Yeah.
The nothing or something.
For sure. Oh, I like that.
Depends on which high school you went to.
Thank you guys so much. Any last words? I mean, as far as like what you would like to tell people just about you guys, about your music, about what you're about.
Yeah, listen to it.
Yeah, come to the show.
We got a new song coming out.
Yeah.
We have a great time.
We're enjoying Tree Fort and, you know, support your local musicians. Every big act that you see, they were a local musician once. So.
Yeah, especially people, when it comes to like giving people the power of, you know, basically the listening power, because it really comes back to who's listening, who's consuming the music in the masses, right? And so I do encourage people to put it on a mix, to figure out a new algorithm, to channel, you know, to channel those artists that are up and coming, that are not signed, that are not poppy, that aren't on your radio, because that's the real shit. And then you can hear it. You can hear the passion, the love, the rawness, and it's really great to find an artist that no one's heard of. And this is, I think, a big one for the person who curates, you know, B, who curates the music for our podcast, who's always like, I got a song for you, you know, and you're like, oh my God, this is so good. And connecting through finding new music that no one's heard of before and giving artists finally a chance to show what they got. And it just takes the listener. It really, I'm asking listeners, I think, to do what they don't typically do, which is go find new music, go search out new artists, go find the song with one like, two likes, one share, you know, and just put it on there and then create a playlist from that song and see where it finds you. Cause it'll be a whole new, you'll an hour from that. You're just like, damn, where am I?
Like, get out of your comfort zone.
Get out of your comfort zone.
I did by listening to you guys. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. That's wonderful. Yeah,
but I played it all day at work. Yeah. I was just jamming. I was like telling people, we're going to listen to this. Like I was going around. Random question we forgot to ask. Can we have permission to put one of your songs on one of our episodes?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, we could do the new song.
We'll send you the new one if it's after the new single.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. That sounds cool.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. On Spotify with that. That would be cool. Okay.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having us.
Of course.
And for like being a like a megaphone for artists
pleasure.
And music. It's really cool. Yes. Appreciate
I'm excited
you.
To, yeah, excited to hear you guys. I think the one I really actually liked it too was Give Me Some.
Oh yeah.
I like that one.
It's a vibe. Okay. So thank you guys. Appreciate it. All right, we're out. Head down working.